Welcome to the OCR GCSE English Language Revision Podcast. I'm your tutor for today, and in the next 10 minutes, we're going to master one of the most valuable skills in your entire English language exam, presenting information clearly. Whether you're sitting the foundation or higher tier, this skill is tested in Component 02, Section B, Transactional Writing, and it's worth a significant chunk of your final grade. So settle in, grab a pen, and let's get started. Before we dive in, let me tell you exactly what's at stake. Section B of Component 02 assesses two assessment objectives, AO5, which covers content and organization, and AO6, which covers technical accuracy. That's your spelling, punctuation, and grammar. Together, these two objectives make up 50% of Component 02, so getting them right is absolutely essential. The examiners are looking for writing that is purposeful, well-structured, and technically controlled. That means every word you write needs to be doing a job. Now, let's talk about the core concepts you need to master. The first and most important concept is what I call the TAP framework. Before you write a single word in your exam, you must spend 5 minutes planning using TAP, type, audience, and purpose. Let me explain each one. Type refers to the text type or form you've been asked to produce. This could be a formal letter, a newspaper or magazine article, a speech, a leaflet, or an opinion piece. Each of these forms has its own conventions, its own rules about layout, tone, and structure. A formal letter, for example, must include a salutation like "Dear Mr. Smith" and a sign-off like "Yours sincerely." A speech should open with a direct address to the audience, such as "Ladies and gentlemen" or "Fellow students." Forgetting these conventions is one of the most common ways candidates lose marks, and it's entirely avoidable. Audience is the second element of TAP, and it's arguably the most important. Your audience determines your register. That is, the level of formality and the type of language you use. Ask yourself, who am I writing for? Are they young or old? Are they experts or members of the general public? What is my relationship to them? Writing a letter to your head teacher requires a very different tone from writing an article for a student magazine. Examiners award marks specifically for sustained register adaptation, which means you need to maintain the appropriate tone throughout your entire response, not just in the first paragraph. Purpose is the third element. Are you arguing a position? Persuading the reader to take action? Informing them about an issue? Advising them on what to do? Your purpose shapes every technique you use. A persuasive piece will use rhetorical questions and emotive language. An informative piece will use facts, statistics, and clear explanations. An advisory piece will use the second person, "you should," and a supportive, guiding tone. Now, once you've completed your TAP analysis, you're ready to think about structure. The examiners want to see structural control. That means your writing should have a clear beginning, middle, and end, with each paragraph doing a specific job. Here's a structure I recommend for most transactional writing tasks. Open with a hook, a striking statement, a rhetorical question, or a surprising statistic that immediately engages your reader. Then, in your first body paragraph, establish your main argument or key point. Use discourse markers, those are linking words and phrases, to guide your reader through your ideas. Words and phrases like "furthermore," "conversely," "notwithstanding," and "consequently" signal to the examiner that you can control complex sentence structures and organize your ideas cohesively. Each body paragraph should develop a distinct point supported by evidence or examples. Aim for 3 to 4 well-developed paragraphs rather than 6 or 7 thin ones. Quality always beats quantity in this exam. Finally, your conclusion should create what examiners call a cyclical structure. This means you refer back to an image, idea, or phrase from your introduction, bringing your writing full circle. This technique signals to the examiner that your writing is crafted and intentional, not just a stream of consciousness. Let's talk about language choices, because this is where candidates can really distinguish themselves. The examiners reward precise, sophisticated vocabulary choices, and they specifically mention using words like "detrimental" instead of "bad." This doesn't mean you should use long words for the sake of it. It means choosing the most precise and effective word for the job. Instead of saying something is good, you might say it is invaluable, indispensable, or profoundly beneficial. Instead of saying something is bad, you might say it is detrimental, counterproductive, or deeply harmful. Persuasive writing also benefits enormously from what we call aphorus techniques. Aphorus stands for alliteration, facts, opinions, rhetorical questions, emotive language, statistics, and the rule of three. Let me give you a quick example of each. Alliteration, the persistent, pervasive problem of plastic pollution. Facts, over 8 million tons of plastic enter our oceans every single year. Opinions stated as facts, it is simply unacceptable that our generation will inherit a planet in crisis. Rhetorical questions. How many more species must we lose before we act? Emotive language. Innocent marine creatures are suffering a slow, agonizing death. Statistics. 91% of plastic is never recycled. And the rule of three, we must act now, act decisively, and act together. When you weave these techniques into your writing naturally, not as a checklist, but as genuine tools of communication, the examiner will recognize the sophistication of your response and award marks in the higher levels. Now let's move on to exam tips and the most common mistakes I see candidates make. The single most damaging error in transactional writing is drifting into a narrative or storytelling style. When the task asks you to write a persuasive article, the examiner does not want a story about your personal experience. They want a structured argument. Keep asking yourself, am I arguing, persuading, informing, or advising? If the answer is, I'm telling a story, stop and refocus. The second most common error is comma splicing. And this one can cap your AO6 mark at level 2 or 3, which is a significant penalty. A comma splice is when you join two independent clauses with just a comma, like this. The environment is in crisis, we must act immediately. That is incorrect. You need either a full stop, a semicolon, or a coordinating conjunction. The correct versions would be, the environment is in crisis, we must act immediately. Or, the environment is in crisis, we must act immediately. Or, the environment is in crisis and we must act immediately. Examiners are specifically instructed to look for this error, so please practice identifying and correcting comma splices before your exam. The third common mistake is adopting an overly aggressive or insulting tone. Persuasive writing should be confident and assertive, but never rude. If you're writing an article arguing that teenagers spend too much time on social media, you should not insult your teenage readers. You should appeal to their intelligence and their values. An alienated reader is not a persuaded reader. Fourth, neglecting form conventions. If you're writing a formal letter and you forget the salutation, the date, and the sign-off, you will lose marks for AO5 regardless of how brilliant your argument is. Spend 30 seconds at the start of your response adding the correct formatting for your text type. It costs you nothing and can gain you marks. Now, let's do a quick-fire recall quiz. I'll ask 5 questions. Pause the podcast after each one and try to answer before I give you the answer. Question 1. What does TAP stand for? Pause now. The answer is type, audience, purpose. Question 2. Name 4 aphorist techniques. Pause now. Any 4 of alliteration, facts, opinions, rhetorical questions, emotive language, statistics, rule of 3. Question 3. What is a comma splice and why is it penalized? Pause now. A comma splice is joining 2 independent clauses with only a comma. It is penalized because it demonstrates a failure to demarcate sentences accurately, which is assessed under AO6. Question 4. What is a cyclical structure, and why should you use it? Pause now. A cyclical structure is when your conclusion references an image or idea from your introduction, creating a sense of cohesion and completion. Examiners reward this as evidence of structural control. Question 5. What is the difference between AO5 and AO6? Pause now. AO5 assesses content and organization, your ideas, structure, and register. AO6 assesses technical accuracy, your spelling, punctuation, and grammar. Excellent work. Let's bring everything together in a final summary. To present information clearly in your OCR GCSE English language exam, remember these 5 golden rules. 1. Always begin with TAP, type, audience, purpose, and spend 5 minutes planning before you write. 2. Sustain your register throughout the entire response, matching your tone and vocabulary to your specific audience. 3. Use discourse markers and a cyclical structure to demonstrate structural control. 4. Deploy aphorist techniques naturally and purposefully to persuade and engage your reader. 5. Proofread specifically for comma splices and homophone errors in your final 5 minutes to protect your AO6 marks. The examiners want to reward you. They are looking for evidence of skill, craft, and control. Every technique we've discussed today is a tool in your writing toolkit, and the more fluently you use these tools, the higher your marks will be. Thank you so much for listening. Good luck in your exam. I know you're going to do brilliantly. Keep practicing, keep reading, and keep writing. Until next time.